W228 EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. You've probably noticed gas prices have inched higher. CBS's Jim Krasula has more.
Industry insiders had predicted that gas prices have bottomed out and are now on the rise. The national average for a gallon of gas is $3.13, up 6 cents from last week. Gas prices have this Charlotte, North Carolina man.
Cutting lunches, cutting dinners, like, and money's tight as it is.
Mike Samla of San Diego isn't even filling his tank.
Just enough to get to work and back home. It's ridiculous right now.
The average price for a gallon of unleaded regular gas a year ago was $3.10. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
Parts of Washington state are experiencing windstorms. KIRO-TV's Kevin Coe reports from Redmond.
The strongest wind gust reported in Enumclaw overnight was at about 50 miles per hour. But strong winds carried over all around East King County.
Branches, the road was littered with stuff, so typical Washington winter weather.
A storm system that created blizzard conditions in the central U.S. earlier this week is bringing snow to portions of the Midwest and will drop rain in the Northeast. Record numbers of people are heading towards the U.S.-Mexico border to seek asylum. In Mexico City, U.S. officials have met with Mexico's president to discuss the issue. More from CBS's Christina Ruffini.
Migration was high on the agenda for Secretary of State Anthony Blinken's visit to Mexico, where President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has said he expects it to be a key issue in next year's U.S. presidential election. The troubled southern border is already the subject of a new campaign ad from the Republican frontrunner.
President Trump had our border secured.
Mexican President López Obrador says his meeting with U.S. diplomats yielded important agreements that benefit both nations. The Michigan Supreme Court says former President Trump can remain on the state's primary ballot. CBS's Scott McFarland with details.
The Michigan Supreme Court swatted away a request to prevent Trump from appearing on the state's 2024 primary ballot for allegedly violating the 14th Amendment's ban on supporting insurrection. The court order said, "We are not persuaded that the questions presented should be reviewed by this court." The decision is the opposite of one reached by Colorado's Supreme Court to strip Trump from that state's primary ballot.
Herb Kohl, a former Democratic U.S. Senator from Wisconsin and former owner of the Milwaukee Bucks basketball team, has died. He was 88. His death was announced by the Herb Kohl Foundation. The foundation did not give a cause, but said he died after a brief illness. Kohl bought the Bucks to keep them from leaving town. On Wall Street, stocks ended mostly higher. The Dow closed up 111 points. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
If I could be you.
And you could be me for just 1 hour.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We may soon know the fate of a Universities of Wisconsin chancellor after the Board of Regents met in closed session Wednesday night. They met to discuss the potential discipline or termination of a university chancellor, though they did not say which chancellor they were looking at. La Crosse's Joe Gow and Whitewater's Beverly Copper were the last chancellors to be sanctioned by the Board of Regents. They were denied pay raises in 2018. The 7 days of Kwanzaa are underway. Nichelle Hayes says the African-American celebration includes readings, artistic performances, and food.
And it's not so much about commercial gifts as coming together, reflection, learning, understanding, and community.
Kwanzaa was first celebrated in the 1960s in response to racial and economic unrest. I'm Nate Wuggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Packers suspend Ja Money. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers suspend defensive back Jaire Alexander for one game after he trotted out to the coin toss before the Packers kickoff against the Carolina Panthers, nearly disrupting the process. Defensive back Eric Stokes.
You can see when he went out there and all that stuff, I was sitting down on the sideline. Right then, when I looked up, he was out there. So it was too much more. It wasn't no more to say.
Packers GM Brian Gutekunst announcing Alexander moved to the reserve suspended list. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, that's something that we made
played together, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we're at that juncture, and felt like it was in the best interest long term.
LaFleur on the decision to suspend Alexander before Sunday night's game against the Vikings. What is Jair like in the locker room? I asked Eric Stokes.
As a teammate, he's a great guy, man. Like, he's a guy that you'll go to battle with, who you'll go to war with, because you know for a fact at the end of the day, like, he's giving his all. So, like, no matter what, like, I love a guy like that.
That's Packers defensive back Eric Stokes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. More clouds around for tomorrow, high upper 30s. But sunshine returns for Friday, warming up to a 40 high. A mix of sun and clouds Saturday, high in the low 30s and a little breezy. Partly sunny in upper 20s for Sunday. Currently, it's 26.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live from City Deck Studios here in beautiful downtown Green Bay, our WGBW studios in Green Bay. Great to have you with me on a Wednesday, kind of a lull-ish kind of day between Christmas and New Year's. We did a half a show last night. And we are on the air tonight through Friday. So you can have Nightlight every night, well, every remaining night this week, where we talk movies and TV and entertainment and some really fun Wisconsin stuff and talk to some really cool people around the state. As I mentioned, today is December 27th. I don't know if you knew this, but it is National Fruitcake Day. I've got some thoughts on that. I can't wait to share. National Fruitcake Day. Got a great show for you tonight. Madison film critic and entertainment reporter Rob Thomas will be with us at 8:30. And Madison filmmaker James Runde will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. Kind of an all things Madison show here tonight on Nightlight. Tonight's question, what should we rename the day after Christmas? Okay, Conrad, so last night we talked about this. I went on kind of a rant talking about how December 26th was the most depressing day of the year because it's the day after Christmas. And, you know, it's just kind of a bad, there were bad birthdays on December 26th, bad films were released, The Exorcist and, you know, The Cooler and all kinds of just kind of depressing films. Not that they're bad movies, but depressing films. December 26th is historically considered maybe the most depressing day of the year. So my trusted compadre Conrad and I last night decided that we were going to try to make December 26th, yesterday, the happiest day of the year. So we thought we'd come up with some names. We put it out there to our friends of what we could rename December 26th, kind of along the lines of Festivus from Seinfeld, making up a holiday, hoping it catches on and becomes part of our national fabric, December 26th. So I'll share some of the things I got over the last few days and over and last night after I put it out there to people. So we'll talk about that. Also, the days are getting longer. Did you know that, Conrad?
I knew it, but I don't know by how much.
I heard, and I'm not a scientist or a meteorologist. We should have had Brittany Merlot on today. 30 seconds more of daylight per day.
Wow.
Leading up to the eventual switching of the clocks again. So we've got that to look forward to. An extra, what are you going to do with your extra 30 seconds a day?
I don't know. I'm always here at four, so I'm going to be inside every time.
Okay. Curtains pulled. Pardon me. We're already 6 days in, so that's like 3 minutes. We've got an extra 3 minutes of daylight.
Wow.
And I don't know about you, but I've got a little bounce in my step with that extra three, that extra 3 minutes. So that's exciting. I mean, you know, whatever. It's the day, a couple days after Christmas. This is kind of like limbo time right now between Christmas and New Year's anyway. We're sort of like, we've got our own list we're going to talk about in a little bit. The most, Rob Thomas compiled a top 10 movies list for 2023. And I've got some binge-worthy stuff I'm going to make suggestions about over the holidays, because this is the perfect time. A lot of people have time off. A lot of people have time to watch TV, spend time with family, still have family in town. Don't feel like taking the Christmas lights down yet. When do you take your tree down, Conrad, in the Krieger house? When does that tree come down?
It's usually like right after New Year's.
Right after New Year's.
Okay. You leave it up for New Year's.
Yeah, we do too. I mean, my wife suggested taking it down like on the 26th or 27th, but I'm like, that's overkill.
That's too much work anyways.
It's too much
work.
Day
after Christmas?
Too. I totally agree. you need some time, you know? You ate all day, probably Christmas Eve too. I know I did. We're going to talk about that too. I want to get your take on fruitcake in a few minutes, Conrad, but here are some suggestions I received. That's our question tonight. What should we rename the day after Christmas to make it the happiest day of the year? You can text or call 920-264-0606. Let us know if you have a name or a way we can rebrand December 26th to make it the happiest day of the year. What should we rename it? And that is the number you can text. The easiest way to text, though, folks, I will say, go to the app store, download the Civic Media app. You can listen to all the great Civic Media shows on the Civic Media app, including Nightlight. And it's so easy. You just click text right at the bottom. It could not be easier. Not that the phone number is that difficult, but I think on the app, it's an even easier way to send a text. You can also listen at civicmedia.us. But go ahead and text us if that's easier for you. 920-264-0606. What should we rename the day after Christmas to make it the happiest day of the year? Here are some suggestions I came up with when I just kind of put it to family. Happy Christ past. Not Christmas, Christ past. Okay. Nothing from Conrad on that one. Feel free to leave that mic on and chime in with some laughter if you like, Conrad. I know that wasn't. Look, they can't all be gold, okay? All right, here's another one. Tis the 26th-iest.
I kind of like that one.
Yeah, and in parentheses, she put the important part. Tis the. You can't just say the 26th-iest. You have to say tis the 26th-iest. So, okay, I can go with that. Here's another one. Oh, this is one of my own. Happy Gift Returnus Day.
I like that. I mean, it makes sense.
None of these are on the level of Festivus. I get that. But I guarantee in the writer's room at Seinfeld, they didn't strike gold overnight. It probably took some. And since we eat a lot on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, Merry Indigestion Day, we're sort of letting our stomachs recover. Merry Burp Day, in parentheses, indigestion, and then there's a parenthetical burp. Merry Burp Day, okay? Merry, this one's so bad. Merry Recycle Us, Bin Overflow Us Day. Because there's too much paper wrapping paper. Merry Recycle Us, Bin Overflow Us Day. Wow, okay. And then Saint Leftover Day. All right. That's all I got. What about you, Conrad? You come up with anything? I did give you homework, did I not?
See, I had the Merry Burp Day or whatever.
That was yours, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But okay. I think we got a winner with the Merry Recycle Has Been Overflow Us Day. It just has a ring to it.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, let's pencil it in. I don't think we should completely. It's a start. I'll just say it. We'll take suggestions on this all week. If you have a better name for the 26th or help us rebrand the 26th to make it a more joyous day, because it is such a depressing day, the day after Christmas, especially for kids. That was like the worst day ever. You almost didn't even want to wake up. I just got a text on my phone. Limbo day, because you don't really feel motivated to do anything until after New Year's. Limbo day. Okay. I get that. So that's what we're looking at. Okay, so then here's the other thing. At the end of the year, like right now, and we're going to talk about this with Rob Thomas in a few minutes. He put together a list of his 10 best movies. There were some deaths this year. This is the time of year where you have all of the lists of the end of the year and what happened. We've got some some big ones this year, and we're going to talk about three of them in particular tonight. We'll break this up over the week, Conrad. We've got Tina Turner, Richard Roundtree. Tina Turner died this year at 83, and I kind of forgot about that, but she died. She gave up, or she became a citizen of Switzerland, I think in the early 2000s, and that's where she died. She had all kinds of health issues, and she received a kidney transplant, I believe, like about 5 or 6 years ago. And she passed away this year. And Tina Turner, obviously, she was part of the duo with her husband, Ike Turner. That didn't end well. She broke off on her own and had one of the greatest comebacks in showbiz history. That's what they're saying anyway. And the stuff I've read about her, she came back. Her 1984 album was called Private Dancer. And I remember this because I was in high school. And it had the singles What's Love Got to Do With It? I think Private Dancer was a good song too. Better Be Good to Me, that was a good one. And then she had a song in the film Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome called We Don't Need Another Hero. And I want to say that reached number one on the charts. But she was also in the movie as an actor. And she's kind of this bigger-than-life character anyway. But she was, I mean, a class... A-list celebrity through and through. And as I said, she had numerous ailments that led to her death at 83 this year. And then Lance Reddick. Lance Reddick died not mysteriously. There was some controversy around his death. I think the family didn't want his death publicized, or they didn't want the cause of death publicized. It's still kind of unclear exactly how he died. But they're calling it heart disease. So and that is a hereditary thing. He died of heart disease at the age of 60. And he was such a great actor. He was Cedric Daniels on the HBO series The Wire. And he also, Wire fans, if you're listening, he auditioned for the roles of Bubbles and Bunk Moreland, who was McNulty's partner. And just a great actor. Had this great imposing look about him. Had this really deep, kind of tough guy voice. And he's gone way too soon. He played Cedric Daniels on The Wire, Irvin Irving, the chief of police on Bosch. And he was also in, he had a ton of credits. Where's my credits list here? He was in Fringe and he was John Wick. That's right. He lived in the hotel in the John Wick franchise and he was in White House Down. But a classically trained pianist. He went to a fine arts high school, University of Rochester, Rochester's Eastman School of Music, and got a degree in music. And then he moved to Boston and attended the Yale School of Drama in the early 1990s. This guy got kind of a late start, but also rose very quickly. He just has such a great look and such a great voice and a big time loss there. We're going to play a clip from one of my favorite clips from Bosch, starring Lance Reddick, between him and Titus Welliver, who is the star of Bosch. We'll play that in just a minute. Rob Thomas is going to join us just after 8:30. We'll talk about his top 10 list and filmmaker James Runday later in the program. It is National Fruitcake Day, folks, and I've got things to say and a scene from Lance Reddick coming up. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back. Happy National Fruitcake Day, everybody. We'll get to that in a minute. Before the break, I was talking about Lance Reddick, who passed away this year at 60, the ripe young age of 60, gone way too soon. He died of heart disease. He played Cedric Daniels in The Wire, Chief Irvin Irving in Bosch, and he was in John Wick. I think he ran the hotel. All the John Wicks kind of run together for me. But he was a great actor. We have a scene. This is one of my favorite scenes near the end of season 4. I can't remember if it's 4 or 6 from Bosch, but it's between Chief Irvin Irving, played by Lance Reddick, and Titus Welliver, who plays the title character of Bosch, a great detective show set in Los Angeles. Bosch is just a thorn in everybody's side. He doesn't like authority. He constantly holds their feet to the fire. And Irvin Irving is a really cool character, the chief of police, but he is not above Bosch's needling. So here we go. Play that clip, Conrad.
Sonia Hernandez. What? East Hollywood fire. Little girl. Her name was Sonia Hernandez.
I know who she is. What about her?
I know what you did.
Excuse me?
I know you made a deal with the feds. We lay off Pena, and you get what you need to keep your job.
You don't know what the f*** I'm talking about.
I know this department doesn't give a fuck about Sonia, her mother, or the other victims.
You got the killers, Bosch. And that is justice for Sonia Hernandez and the others.
That's not justice when Mickey Pena walks away.
Hard decisions had to be made. The best outcome has been achieved.
I mean, for you, right? As long as you get your 5 years tacked on, all good and bright in the City of Angels. You.
That's your last free one, Bosch.
Sorry for that that little thing we missed there when we were editing, but pardon me. That is the show Bosch and the great actor Lance Reddick trying to fend off Titus Welliver, who is the title character of Bosch. Lance Reddick passed away this year. Pardon me. I am having serious, might need a quick throat operation at the bottom of the hour before we come back. Richard Roundtree also passed away. Before we get to Richard Roundtree, I want to close the segment with Richard Roundtree because he was in the film Shaft, where he played police officer Detective John Shaft, and some of the greatest music ever made. But first, let's talk about the fruitcake. I don't understand the idea of the fruitcake. To me, it's a perfect dessert. Why mess with cake? It's a flawless product. Whoever invented the cake knocked it out of the park. Grand slam. Walk-off home run, a slam dunk. Why add nuts and fruit and pudding and things that don't belong anywhere near a delicious cake? Talk about overproducing a tried and true dessert winner. Conrad, do you like fruitcake?
No.
No. Okay. Me either. Who eats it? Who eats fruit? If you eat fruitcake and you disagree with me, hey, let us hear. 920-264-0606. I personally don't get it. So to find out where our obsession with the fruitcake comes, especially around the holidays, I did the Google. And here are some historical facts about the fruitcake. It dates back to the Romans, as it was found in the Roman archives. It became popular in the 16th century, presumably because there were no Hostess products. available to the general public. We were still centuries away from ding-dongs and Twinkies. At one point, plum pudding, why would you put that in a cake? AKA fruitcake, it was also known as fruitcake, was illegal. Not just because it tasted bad. In the 17th century Europe, plum pudding was outlawed for being sinfully rich. Man, they had a set of ideals back then. To fully explain this ridiculous sounding law, we have to dive into a little history here. So I went to, website. Oh, collinstreet.com. This is where I found it. Okay. So when Oliver Cromwell defeated Charles I and ended the 1640s English Civil War, he staked his claim as Lord Protector over what was termed the Commonwealth. Cromwell, being a Puritan, a strict subset of Christianity, sought to rid Britain of activities deemed immoral, sinful, corruptible, or non-Christian. Eating fruitcake fits in every one of those categories for me. This included anything seen as overly indulgent. Plum pudding was seen as thus... You don't need to sound like you're writing the article in the 1620s, Collin Street. Just talk normally. And therefore outlawed. However, this law didn't last long and was revoked in 1660 when Charles II took the throne. Before that, it was like the Untouchables. They had speakeasies where people would apparently go to get fruitcake. Fruitcake infused with alcohol can last for decades. One of the food staples sent with astronauts on the first space mission was fruitcake, because fruitcake is a shelf-stable pantry item requiring no refrigeration and no cooking before consumption. It was an ideal snack to pack. Nowadays, fruitcake is no longer included in space shuttle kitchens. I'm guessing because astronauts would have gone on strike. The scientists have extensively developed a variety of nutritionally dense freeze-dried food packs. But we could not have gotten to where we are today without starting with fruitcake. Yes, we could have. So anyway, there you go. A little history on fruitcake. Prove me wrong. If I'm wrong about fruitcake, I want to hear about it. Don't be afraid to speak up. I just don't think nuts and fruit belong anywhere near a moist, tender cake. But that's me. So let's have a little Shaft music, Conrad, under the Richard Roundtree passed away this year. He was the star of Shaft, which was an action movie in 1971. And it spurred a few sequels. Shaft's Big Score in 1972. Shaft in Africa, 1973. He also played the same role in a television series from CBS to 1973 and 1974. He also appeared in Roots, the soap opera Generations, and appeared in the film Seven by David Fincher, opposite Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. And he was in the show Desperate Housewives. It's so funny, when I was younger, I always wondered, who is that guy? I know him from somewhere. And sure enough, it was Richard Roundtree. He dated Kathy Lee Crosby, who later dated Joe Theismann in what was called the most annoying relationship ever around the Schwabba house. Remember those two? They're like so full of each other. She should have stayed with Roundtree. He was diagnosed, this is crazy, he was diagnosed with breast cancer in 1993. That's right, men can get it. And subsequently underwent a double mastectomy and chemotherapy. And he died of pancreatic cancer this year. But what's so amazing about some of these celebrities that pass away, Tina Turner, Richard Roundtree, Lance Reddick, is the legacy they leave behind for us to enjoy. The joy they've brought to our lives through their art. It's incredible. What happened to our music, Conrad?
Oh, it just ran out of time with it. It was a minute long.
We can't. That is a sin to run out of, just like eating fruitcake in the 1600s. We can't run out of Shaft music.
But we also got Tina Turner right now, so.
Well, let's play Tina Turner coming back. Let's go out with Richard Roundtree. Richard Roundtree, Tina Turner, Lance Reddick, three amazing people that passed away this year. When I come back in just a couple minutes, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times talks top 10 movies of the year. Pete Schwabba, Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Gas prices are up about 3 cents compared to a week ago, according to AAA. Oil analyst Tom Closa on what to expect in 2024.
Prices will start the year close to about $3. They may go up to $3.50 or $3.75 in sort of the second and third quarter belly of the market. And then they may drop toward the end of the year.
A storm system is moving toward central and northern California. National Weather Service meteorologist Zach Taylor.
It could bring some heavy rainfall and flooding concerns, particularly across northern California, where the storm system is positioned to bring the most rainfall.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken and other U.S. officials travel to Mexico to meet with President Lopez Obrador about why the influx of migrants. The BBC's Will Grant in Mexico City with more.
There's been a lack of funding for authorities in Mexico, and I think that the criminal groups who move people through Mexico to the U.S. are telling people that the time is now and this is the moment to head north.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former U.S. Senator and owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Herb Kohl, has died. He was 88 years old. Kohl's death was announced Wednesday evening by the Herb Kohl Foundation. Kohl bought the Bucks in 1985 and was instrumental in keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee. Kohl also represented Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate from 1988 until 2012 when he decided not to run for re-election. Android phone users in Wisconsin can expect some of a $700 million nationwide antitrust lawsuit settlement with Google. Alexandra Sosnowski is New Hampshire's assistant attorney general.
With antitrust and disinjunctive relief, the hope is that the markets will open up and there could be future competitors that enter the space.
About 100 million eligible customers in all 50 states will split the settlement. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, high upper 30s. But sunshine returns for Friday, warming up to a 40 high. A mix of sun and clouds Saturday, high in the low 30s and a little breezy, partly sunny in upper 20s for Sunday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
We're going to do the finish.
is the way we do. Proud Mary. Left a job in the city.
Welcome back tonight. Like, keep it going for a little bit, Conrad. That's Tina Turner. Proud Mary. She had the greatest comeback in showbiz history, according to some people. Incredible career. She was one of the celebrities that passed away in 2023. You're listening to Nightlight with Peach Wamba. Thanks for being with me on a Wednesday night. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Madison filmmaker James Runde is going to talk about some of the short films he's made. He made one of my favorite short films of all time, and I still laugh about it this day. And apparently, periodically, I fire it up. I love watching it, and we'll talk to James in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll give you some movie and TV suggestions too, because this is the time of the year we binge between Christmas and New Year's. This is the most binge-worthy time of the year, unless you're laid up with an ACL sprain or something. So we'll get into that a little bit too. We might even talk more about the fruitcake. And I want to hear what Rob Thomas, the amazing entertainment writer and film critic for the Capital Times, thinks about fruitcake. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Good, happy holidays.
Thank you, you as well. Did you have a good Christmas?
We had a great one, yeah. Just home with one of the kids was home from college and hanging out, and you're kind of right. Like, once all the Christmas planning and stuff settles down, that's kind of when our binging starts picking up, right?
It's become, honestly, Rob, it's become like, I love Christmas, I like New Year's, but that time in between when you're just sitting around with your family, you're right. It's like my daughter and I binge watched a bunch of true crime over the last 3 or 4 days. And we watched we finished the Boston American Manhunt, the Boston Marathon bomber. So we watched that on, I think it was on Netflix, but it's just fun to sit there together, even though you're doing nothing really, right?
Yeah. But you're doing nothing together. And this, exactly. And like I said, the pressure's off. The gift buying, making dinner.
Yes.
Because the lights are straight. You know, you're past all that.
That's right. You know? Make a big old plate of leftovers and just camp out on the couch. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. So what do the Thomases binge watch together?
Well, finally, my younger daughter is also a big true crime person, although she's more into podcasts. She's like, oh yeah, I was doing my makeup and listening to this, describing this horrific crime to me that she's listening to while she's putting her mascara on.
Background music.
Part of her morning routine. yeah, right, exactly. My wife, Greta, and I are hitting 2 episodes a night of Slow Horses, which I might have mentioned
before. That was
nice. It's on Apple TV Plus, and it's a very offbeat British spy espionage thriller show, which is sort of like, it's about the Bad News Bears of MI5, MI6.
Oh, okay.
Screw-ups who are sort of, they can't fire them because they know too much. So they are relegated to this, you know, backwater department. And then somehow they end up getting involved in all these big schemes. So we're about halfway through the third season, which dropped earlier this month, and really having a great time with it.
I love that. That sounds almost a little bit like Stripes in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite that comedic, but it's definitely like Gary Oldman, who's great, plays sort of the head of this agency, and he plays him as like a total slob. Like, he is like, you can smell him coming off the screen. He's so disgusting. He's so funny, and he just openly sort of despises the people who work for him, the washed up spies. It's a really fun show. We have a really good time with it.
I just marked it down. That's on my list. That sounds great. Well, that's cool. So that's fantastic. And you just published your take on, what do you think of, before we get into your list, Rob, what do you think overall of the cinema box office releases in 2023? Where are you at with that?
I thought it was, you know, it's a crazy time. But this felt to me like the year when things kind of got back to normal after the pandemic.
Right.
Like 2021 was sort of crazy because so much stuff had been shut down. 2022, everybody was very nervous. Would people ever come back to the theaters. Top Gun Maverick was sort of the savior
that
year. And this year was a year where, you know, a lot of people were coming back to the theater, and not just to see superhero movies, but seeing all kinds of really interesting movies. I got, like, when I came up with my list, it was very easy to come up with 20 or 30 movies I really loved last year. It was hard to narrow it down.
I don't know if you're like me, but there's a couple times I was in the theater this year where I almost kind of missed that there weren't as many people in the theater. You know, it's like, it's fun to watch a movie with a group, but you still got your sneezers sitting 3-4 seats away, you know. But let's talk about
the human melting pot. Yeah,
exactly. A petri dish of movie watching.
Well, literally.
Yeah. So let's talk about your list that you published. You got your 10 best of 2023 that came out today.
I put it up on my Substack newsletter, which is called Not That Rob Thomas, because I get confused with the Matchbox 20 Rob Thomas.
You're so much better.
Well,
don't be so modest, Rob.
Not for me to say.
I just said it. All right, so talk us through your list here. You got, you kind of have a tie at number one. Well, you do have a tie at number one.
I definitely do.
And
I mean,
two very different movies, though. Tell us about it.
I mean, complete opposite movies, I would say. And I mean, it was the movie event of the year, of course, Barbie and Oppenheimer, which were two movies. I mean, it was crazy. I think that was the biggest box office weekend ever. And it was not a Star Wars movie, not an Avengers movie. It was these two movies that were very different. And, like, you know, a lot of people thought a movie about a doll was going to tank.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, and kind of why I paired them together was, aside from the whole Barbenheimer experience, was they were kind of both in different ways showed why movie theater going is so, you know, is irreplaceable. Because, like, you see Oppenheimer, you know, I saw it in IMAX and it was an incredible experience. The visuals, the sound, the complexity of the plot, just, I mean, 40 or 50 great performances, something, you know, and it was about something huge, a huge canvas. And, you know, I just loved it. But, you know, I think if I had seen that movie in an empty theater, it probably would hit me about the same way. It was all about what was happening on the screen. Whereas Barbie, like, an essential part was seeing it with a packed, bright pink theater and the audience, you know, that audience experience. People were, you know, laughing and crying and you know, just loving it. And there are so many great jokes and visual touches and sort of subtle subversive commentary on men and women, just all packed in there. I mean, you really had to see it a second time to pick up on all of it.
Yeah.
And it was one. Go ahead.
No, you, please.
No, I just think that was one that showed, like, you just can't get that at home. You know, even if you are watching with your family, it really is a lightning in a bottle type of thing. It's an event.
Yeah. And
so both those things together, I think, are why I still go to the theater, why I think it's important that people do.
And that's such a great point. Like, Barbie was an experience. It was an event. When I saw it, I went, you know, like you said, everybody wearing pink, and to show you the staying power or how thought provoking it was, we discussed Barbie at Christmas dinner with extended family. We all went around.
Oh, yeah.
It just kind of came up again. And I don't know if I told you this before, but when I saw the trailer, I kind of went to the film expecting like a Brady Bunch type movie, but it was very different. I mean, it had its fun and light moments, but it had such a message too. And then, yeah, you're right. And Oppenheimer, just a conflict within that guy. Within Oppenheimer, with what he did in the moment, it was the right thing. Did he regret it later? Yes. And how he got beat up for that. It's just such a great, maybe my favorite Christopher Nolan movie ever. Certainly the most complete, I would say.
It's got to be way up there. I mean, I love Dunkirk and a couple of, you know, but I mean, it feels like he's been building to this his whole career.
Great. Yeah. And I think we talked about, you have Killers of the Flower Moon, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I've not seen either one of those, so I'm a little behind because of this show, mostly. But so that's why I need
Spider-Man's
you,
more fun. Spider-Man's more fun.
Yeah.
But,
sounds like it.
You know, this was a year when I think people were starting to feel superhero fatigue, getting tired of all the Marvel movies and the DC movies. But then here was a movie that shows, like, if you do something, you know, I don't know if you saw the first animated Spider-Man movie, but it's just really inventive animation, lots of fun, really funny, really clever, and they just kept rolling with that in the sequel. So I'd love it.
That's pretty high up. You have that really high up there, which now it's definitely on my list to see. But let's see, then you got Showing Up. I have not seen that one either, but I love Michelle Williams.
Yeah, it's got to be on streaming somewhere. A little sort of comedy.
Okay.
Drama. Indie, very indie. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And then Asteroid City. Who was I? I was just talking about someone like that, supposedly about that film. And that's the Wes Anderson film, of course. And
did you see that?
I have not. No, I'm really behind. I've only seen John Wick, and I've seen some of your alternates. The Killer, we talked about that. Mission Impossible. I've got some films to watch for sure.
Yeah, I really, the last couple of Wes Andersons, I mean, you know, I walk in going like, well, I know what this is going to be. This is going to be, and I like it, but I mean, it's pretty familiar at this point. He's been making movies for 25 years. And I love it. I mean, he does so many interesting things. The Asteroid City, I cannot even describe to you, but it's like one story set in the 50s and in New Mexico, and they're aliens. But then there's this other story around it about a theater. It's very meta, but I was really taken by it. I thought it was one of his best. And I hear some people say like, well, he should do something totally different, but like, this is his thing. This is like, and so I think he just keeps, expanding and doing better jobs.
That's so great, because I thought the first, I love Bottle Rocket is one of my all time favorite films. Absolutely. And I loved, Rushmore after that, Royal Tenenbaums a little less, but still liked it. And I felt like he was kind of digressing, just me personally. But then the Darjeeling Limited, I think, was his. Or the hotel. No, what's the movie about the hotel?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Royal Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, Hotel Budapest. And he kind of came back. And so I'm excited to see Asteroid City. What about Holdovers? People are raving about that movie, Rob.
Oh, Pete, I highly recommend Holdovers. I saw that with my mom a couple of weeks ago. And it's just like, it's like a great 70s movie. It's like Harold and Maude or The Last Detail, like these great movies, and set in 70, built on character. They're funny, but they're sort of, serious in some ways. It's this teacher, Paul Giamatti, who I think is one of the greats.
He is fantastic.
Plays this sort of curmudgeonly teacher at a prep school who has to watch these kids over winter break because their parents don't want them to come home, basically.
Right.
And how he kind of bonds, especially with one kid who's also, the two of them, and they sort of find common ground. I really loved it. Like, it was the kind of movie I'd love to see more of.
Yeah, I love Alexander Payne, too. He's like one of my all-time, Elections, one of my all-time favorite movies. Really like Sideways. Love Nebraska. So then I got to tell you, John Wick 4. And please fight me on this, because I am so, I can't remember what happened in what John Wick movie. I'm just like, and my son, it's no problem. He's like, Dad, that's the guy from that. And I'm like, well, how do you remember that? Like, there's just so many people dying and there's so many amazing action scenes. But
I had that I had that problem with 2 and 3. Like, I was like, which one does he ride the horse and which one does?
Maybe that's a good one.
And I enjoyed it, but like 4 to me. And I think this should definitely be the last one. Like, I think they've left the door open a little bit for a sequel. I won't get into it, but there's just no way to top this. Like, there was just one fantastic, like, operatic.
Yeah, that's true.
Another, like you say, they're all kind of different. You know, he rolls down 200 flights of stairs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, let's leave it here.
All right. That's a good, you win. You win that fight, Rob. Can you hang 60 seconds, Rob?
Of course.
All right. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight and my guest, Rob Thomas, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the middle of our house, it has a crowd. There's always something happening and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down and a mess is not allowed.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. Well, it's almost 2024, but until we make the actual switch, we're celebrating movies of 2023 here on Nightlight right now with the outstanding writer for the Capital Times, Rob Thomas, who just released his 2023 10 best list for films today. Rob, where can people see this list again? You want to plug it again?
Yeah, it's on a newsletter site called Substack, and it's called Not That Rob Thomas. I think if people search that, they'll be able to find
Not
it.
Not That Rob Thomas, yeah. And that's what we do here. As you know, Rob, we talk entertainment, movies, and TV, and I love having a guy like Rob on because he kind of just, if you're too busy scrolling and looking for something to watch, Rob comes on and just tells you, here are 10 great movies for 2023. So we appreciate that. Before we move on, I just want to, you were talking about The Holdover. So The Killer we've discussed, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, one I saw and loved. Any Oscar predictions, Rob? The announcements are coming up in a few weeks. What do you think?
That's a good question. I mean, I think
probably some on your list here, I'm sure.
I mean, certainly Oppenheimer, certainly Barbie. Yeah. I think, Ryan Gosling has got to be, that is a incredible performance. That's got to
be, was great.
It'll probably be best supporting actor. I think it should be best actor.
Interesting. Killers of the Flower Moon,
yep, for sure. Probably Maestro, I'm thinking.
So I just finished that. What did you think of Maestro?
I really liked it, quite a bit more than I thought I would. I kind of thought it would be more of a, here's the movie about a great man, Leonard Bernstein. And it sort of is that, but it's very, it's almost dreamlike in a way. And like, if you don't know Leonard Bernstein, I think you might be kind of lost because it really focuses more on his personal life and his marriage.
Right.
And but they sort of just sort of offhandedly mention West Side Story, which is like, one of the greatest things of the last half century.
I thought that was going to be a whole chapter in the film, and it was like just kind of an aside almost.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, oh, wait a minute. I know that one.
Yeah.
So it was Bradley Cooper, who the actor who did A Star Is Born, which also was, I thought, really good.
He'll be nominated, don't you think?
I think it will. Yeah, for sure.
He was great. And I find that when I, biopics, typically I'm kind of like, oh, I have to like get my energy up to watch them because they're just sort of reenactments. Yeah. But this, he was so good. And at first I'm like, I kind of was aware that he was acting. By like minute five, I'm like, oh my God, he is Leonard Bernstein.
He just disappears into it and does it for like, what, a half century of his life or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And the makeup, that first scene where he's playing the piano, the makeup on him where they make him look older. You can always tell, oh, that's all right. Now we get it. He's supposed to be older, but that was just phenomenal. He really looked like him in everything.
Yep. Yeah. Have you seen, speaking of biopics, have you seen Ferrari?
No, you know what? It was between that and Maestro 2 nights ago. And I went with Maestro, but that's on my list too. And Adam Driver.
Ferrari's, Michael Mann, great filmmaker.
Oh yeah. I love him.
Thief. It's good. I mean, it's, it's a, Adam Driver plays Ferrari. It takes place in 1957, and it's good. I mean, it's got some great racing scenes and interesting performances. Penelope Cruz plays his wife, and I really liked it.
Yeah. That movie, not just because of the name Ferrari, but I'm hoping the movie Ford versus Ferrari, when that came out a few years ago, I'm like, I'm not really a car guy, whatever. Loved that movie. And I was like, it's just a great movie. It doesn't matter if they could have been talking about cross-stitching. And if they'd shot it like that and executed it like that, it would have been great. So I'm hoping I like Ferrari as much as I like Ford versus Ferrari.
I like Ford versus Ferrari better. Kind of like you said, like you wouldn't think you'd be interested in that story, and then they make it interesting. And because
phenomenal.
Yeah. But I still think Ferrari's worth seeing in the theater. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Okay. I'm talking with Rob Thomas, the Capital Times entertainment reporter and film critic out of Madison. Rob, so have you seen, have you seen Leave the World Behind?
I haven't. I've heard a lot of a range of reactions to it. Very positive.
Yeah.
And very negative. Did you see it?
I did. And I'm hoping to get Matt Miller back on the show because he had an issue with some of the camera stuff in it. And I kind of agree with him, but it kind of also didn't bother me as much because the movie is so topsy-turvy and you're dealing with, you know, the potential end of the world. But I know what he's saying, but I was interested to hear what you had to say about like some of the character. It's a good, I liked it. Overall, I liked it. And I love that it was on Netflix and I could just start it and watch it, you know.
Heck yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a downer? I mean, I can't get a read on like I know it's like you said, it's potential end of the world, but I can't get a read on like, is it a thriller? Is it like character drama?
Yeah, it's a downer a bit, but they do it kind of there's like a little through line with the TV show Friends. It kind of makes it end.
Okay.
It gives you a glimmer of hope. There's a small victory at the end that I won't say too much, but there's some really creepy but fun scenes in it, like a tanker going up on shore and people are like, what the heck? And they all run. So anyway, yeah, I recommend it. But we have just about a minute left, Rob. What are you looking for? Anything you're looking forward to coming out soon in the next year?
Well, I want to see the new Dune, which is coming in March. Delayed because of the strikes. I think that sounds really good. I think it's going to be a little bit light in the theaters the next few months. Oh, there's one coming Netflix, I think next week, called Society of the Snow, which is about, I don't know if it's the same plane crashes in the movie Alive, but it's a similar situation. Oh, wow. It's not a true story. I'm hearing really good things about it. It's also on Netflix, like I said, so
yeah,
it'd be easy to really start.
Sure.
Yeah, I think those are the two that are on my mind right now.
Real quick, just about 30 seconds, if you don't mind. Have you seen the film Sound of Freedom? I started that last night just kind of because I'd heard so much about it. Any thoughts there? Have you seen it?
I have not. It's pretty controversial for a number of reasons. Like, because it was a box office hit in theaters, but then I guess people were buying tickets for other people or I don't know. But
oh, yeah, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's a cinematic gem yet. I'm only about 15 or 20 minutes in, so I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'll stick with it. But yeah, it is. It's kind of like, why am I watching this? I don't need to. I just watched Leave the World Behind. I don't need another downer.
There you go.
Well, Rob, it's always fun. Let's do it again soon. And always love what you're watching and what you have to say about it. Great stuff.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, have a great night. Keep binge watching. All right. That's Rob Thomas from the Capital Times. Always fun talking to Rob. Coming up next hour, Madison filmmaker James Runday. We're going to play some clips from his great short films, and we'll talk to James a little bit. And after the break, Conrad and I are going to talk about what we watched over the break and what we plan to watch during the rest of the holiday season here, and we'll share that with you. This is Pete Schwama, and you're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 ADP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.